Let's begin in verse 16 and we'll read through verse 22. This is the Apostle Paul on his first missionary journey and a sample of one of the messages that he would bring as he traveled throughout Asia Minor, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul would go from synagogue to synagogue and share first with Jews and then to the Gentiles to share the good news of Christ. He visits a synagogue here and he begins to preach. It says in verse 16, Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm he led them out from it. For a period of about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. When he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed the land as an inheritance, all of which took about 450 years. After these things, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he said, testifying and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" Let's pray together. Father, we reverence your word this morning. We are grateful for it. We thank you for the truths that it teaches us and how we can know you more and more as we study the Holy Scriptures. Lord, help me this morning to share the word of the Lord in truth and with accuracy. Holy Spirit, I pray for your anointing both on me as I speak and on all of us as we listen, that we might hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to the church today. Encourage your people today, Father, through the Scriptures, through the manna of heaven. Feed us this hour, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm actually going to, we're kind of going to be brief this morning. What I want to do is go back and finish the message that I started to share with you last Sunday morning as we began to talk about the life of David, whom the Scripture talks about, a man after God's own heart. And we're looking at the life of David because David is a man who was honored by God because of the condition and attitude of his heart toward the Lord. One of the things that we looked at last week as we began to do a comparison in order to really truly appreciate the heart of David, we did a comparison between David's heart and the heart of King Saul, the first king of Israel, whose heart was filled with pride and arrogance. Actually, Saul didn't start off that way. Saul started off as a humble man. And yet probably because of the power and the position and things that it were handed to him, the leadership role that was expected of him, he became very proud and very arrogant and did things that he was not qualified to do, built monuments to himself, did things his way instead of doing things God's way. And the Bible says pride goes before a fall. And that's one of the main points I want to share with you today is how we see in the life of Saul how that is actually lived out. Please see the parallels. Saul was given a kingdom by God. He didn't do anything to qualify for it. It was just appointed by God to be the king of Israel, okay? But because of his pride, he fell from that position of authority. David, on the other hand, as we saw last week, is the picture of a man who has a heart of humility. That's one of the primary features we're going to see about David's life throughout this study. The humility of his heart. He doesn't push for power. He doesn't push for position or fame or recognition or anything like that. He doesn't seek out, all of these things. He allows God to bring them to him. In fact, we'll see that towards the end of this message in a picture way in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel when we get over there. But David is a man that because of the humility of his heart, he is given a kingdom. And there's a spiritual lesson that you and I need to see there. David was a man who was given a kingdom and in the humility of his heart reigned over that kingdom, sat in a position of authority, exercised the power of the king, and was blessed abundantly by God in that position. And there's a parallel between you and I, their natural kingdoms, and our position in the kingdom of God and what God will do in our lives based on the condition of our heart. Okay? Here's the truth I want you to see. Pride caused Saul to lose a kingdom. humility caused David to receive a kingdom. You and I have been given the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says that we have already been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God. The question to us is, are we going to experience the blessings of that kingdom? The blessings that are righteousness, peace, and joy. The blessings of life more abundant. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundant. Are we going to experience the blessings of the kingdom of God? Or are we going to forfeit our kingdom by our pride and by our arrogance? David was a man who had a heart of pride, a heart of humility. And because of his humility, God blessed him abundantly. He found favor in the sight of God because of the humility of his heart. Micah chapter 6, we used to sing a little scripture song many years ago from Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And it says this, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. Walk humbly before your God. What God is looking for out of us today is a people who will have a heart like David, a heart that's humble before God, a heart that's open before God, and a heart that wants nothing but what God wants. I think that's really ultimately what it means when the Bible says that David was a man after God's heart. I believe that ultimately means that David was a man who wanted the things that God wanted. He just wanted the will of God to be done. In fact, that's what he tells us here in verse 22 though, of the passage that we read here. God says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. He just wants the will of God to be done in his own life and in the life of others. And God is looking for us to be a people who will be that way, have a heart for God, who will want nothing but the will of God to be done in our lives. You know, pride, the Bible says pride goes before a fall. And how many of you know that pride is natural to us as human beings? Pride is a natural characteristic of us as human beings. And it's one of those attributes that we need to submit to the Spirit of God so that He can remove from our lives. But pride causes us to do a lot of foolish things. Pride keeps us from stooping to a position that we think is too low for us. I think about the disciples of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus were always arguing with each other over which one was the greatest. Can I, you know, I'm better than I can. No, I see more miracles. No, I do the healing. No, I, you know, all these things back and forth. And they asked, two of them actually asked Jesus, can we sit at your right hand and in your left hand when the kingdom comes? We believe we deserve the primo seats in the kingdom of God. And you know, in Jesus' day, the custom was when you went into a home, the host would at least provide water for you to wash the dirt off your feet. If he had servants, then the lowest servant's job in the house was to wash the feet of the visitors that came to the house. And so that was a custom in Jesus' day. And if you remember the story in John chapter 13 of Jesus and the disciples on the night in which Jesus would be betrayed, and they go into the upper room in order to share communion together, and they all go in and they all take their places, and none of them was willing to stoop to wash the other's feet. And Jesus had to do it. And he took the opportunity to teach them the lesson of humility. And that greatness in the kingdom of God is by being a servant. By making yourself humble. A lot of times pride will keep us from stooping to do something that we believe is beneath us. Pride keeps us from asking for help. Pride keeps us from admitting when we're wrong. And pride, brother and sister, will cost us our kingdom. If we don't deal with the pride issues of our heart. I want to go back and look at the heart of David. David is a man after God's own heart. I believe that means several things. I believe that means that David is a man who wants just what God wants. He wants the same things. But I believe it also means that David's heart was a heart that was being molded in the likeness of God's own heart. That David had the attributes of God in his heart. And I believe we see that in the Psalms as David would write to us. And if you'll turn over with me to Psalm 19. just want to read three or four passages from the book of Psalm that describe for me the heart of David. Recognizing that this is the heart, it's a picture of the heart of the New Testament believer who is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Psalm 19, I want to read verses 12, the end of the chapter here, verses 12 through 14. I want you to see the openness of David's heart. I want you to see how open he is with God. Because see, a lot of times we're not open with God. We try to hide our hearts from God. We think we can hide our hearts from God. We don't tell God the full truth of the things that are going on, and we think we can get by with it. Look at what David says. He says in verse 12 of Psalm 19, he says, "Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults." In other words, David says, I recognize the prophet said this. The prophet said the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can recognize it? In other words, we can be deceived in our own heart. We can justify ourselves so completely on certain things that we deceive our own selves that we think what we're doing is actually right when it's wrong. A lot of times when we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness toward people, we can justify it by the pain that we've experienced through what we've been through. And the Bible says there's no justification. We're to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. But we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're just and having an attitude that we deep in our heart would know would be completely wrong. And so David says in verse 12, who can discern his errors? We're able to deceive ourselves. We don't always know. And so he goes on to say, acquit me of hidden faults. Those secret things in my heart that nobody knows, that I don't even recognize. God, show me the depth of my heart and soul and the ugliness that's within. Verse 13, also keep back your servant for presumptuous sins, the sins that I'm aware of. Keep me out of those as well. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Not only our actions, David says, not only may my actions be right before you, God, but may the words that I speak and the meditations and thoughts of my heart, may they be pure as well. You know, most of us are content as long as we are not outwardly living in a manner that's not pleasing to the Lord. Most of us think we're doing okay and we're content to be right there. But God goes deeper than that. God looks at the heart. God looks at the thoughts. I suspect most of us would be thoroughly embarrassed if everybody else knew the kind of things that ran on between our ears in the course of a day. That's why the Bible says we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And David said, Lord, I want not only my actions to be pure, I want my thoughts to be pure as well. He wanted to be completely pure before the Lord. Most of us can justify things that go on between our ears. As long as we don't act on it, we think it's okay. God disagrees. God disagrees. Guys, did you know that God says this? God says, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. See, it's not just that you don't do it outwardly. You don't do it inwardly either. God looks on the heart, not just the outer man. Look over at Psalm 139. And David is saying to God, God, I want to be thoroughly pure before you. I want to be pure outwardly, and I want to be pure inwardly as well. Psalm 139, the last two verses of this psalm. Look at these verses. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. He says, search my heart. Most of us, we've got nooks and crannies in our hearts that we don't want God peeking into those areas. We'll let God have most of our heart. Lord, I'll give you 95% of my heart. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, you have company coming over and you get all the stuff out of the living room, you sweep it all up real clean, you throw it all in the bedroom. And as long as all they see is that living room area, They think your house looks real nice. They don't know what's in the back bedroom, what you've stored back. Well, that's the way we treat God where our heart is concerned. God, come on in. We'll show you this room, but Lord, let's keep this door shut back here on the back corner of my heart. I don't want you to see what's in there. See? And God says, no, I want your whole heart. And David says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Open that stinking, dirty closet, God, and show me what's in there. Show me how to get it out. Show me how to deal with it. Show me how to clean it up so that my whole heart is completely yours. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See, look at verse 24. See if there be any hurtful way in me. Please hear this, brother and sister. David recognizes that anything in his heart that is not pleasing to God is ultimately hurtful to David. What's in your heart today that's not pleasing to God will ultimately be hurtful to you and me if we persist in holding on to it. And so we need to let the Lord cleanse our heart and make us completely whole. You remember the scripture we quote often around here, 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone to whom he can show himself strong, whose heart is completely his. God wants our whole heart so he can show himself strong in our lives. Look at one more psalm with me, Psalm 51. David is the very picture of humility for us. Psalm 51 and verse 10, and we read this one a lot too. Familiar to you, no doubt, Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David knows that he's not able to clean up his own heart. How many of you know today you're not able to clean up your own act? You need God to do that. That's why we need God every day. It's not enough for us to come to God and say, Lord, I believe that I'm a sinner and I need salvation and I need Jesus to save my soul. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. How many of you understand that's just the beginning of your walk with God? That's not the ending, guys. That's just the beginning. And we need God every day beyond that point. To live with us, to walk with us, to move within us, to keep us clean and to keep us pure. Otherwise, as we walk through the road of life, our feet can get dirty and need to be washed again. The Lord wants to keep us clean. He says, change me, Lord. Look at what he says. Create in me a clean heart. He says, change me, Lord, from the inside out, so that not only are my actions pure, but my motives, the motives of my heart, are pure as well. Why does David want that? Because David knows, Jesus said it, David said it in Psalm 24, those who are pure in heart will see and experience God. And David had a seeking heart. Because he was humble before God, he was always seeking the Lord. Look at Psalm 24, another familiar passage to you. This is still an introduction. And I wrote that down. It's Psalm 27. I wrote it down wrong. Look at Psalm 27, verse 4. And we'll read through verse 8. David says, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It was the only thing he wanted in life, was to live with God and to dwell with him forever. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me, and in his tabernacle, in the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek. And David was a man who was always seeking God. He sought God for everything. When it was time to go to battle to an enemy, he sought the Lord. Lord, do we go to battle? Yes or no? Where do we go to do this, Lord? Everything he needed, he sought God for. He didn't presume anything on the Lord. He sought God for everything because he was humble and he wasn't proud and didn't think he knew it all. See? Pride is a thief, guys. The Bible says that God is opposed to the proud, but he favors those that are humble. Listen, you know, we talk often about, you know, unanswered. Why aren't prayers answered? What's the problem with this prayer? Why aren't we getting our prayers answered? Now, there are a lot of reasons. But I wonder if most of the reasons that our prayers aren't answered, I wonder if most of them don't ultimately come down to the issue of pride. The Bible says God is opposed to the proud. God is opposed. Did you hear that? God is opposed to the proud. That means, guys, it doesn't matter how much we cry out to God. If our heart's full of pride, we're not going to receive answers to our prayers. And I would just suggest this is probably a good place for us to look, particularly if we're in a prolonged situation of struggle and we never seem to get victory over things. Maybe we need to look at our own heart and let the Lord shine his light into our life and see if there's anything there that we need to deal with. And we need to seek the Lord. And we need to seek the Lord about everything. David was a man who sought the Lord. Look over at Psalm 34. Again, a psalm of David, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from my fears. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. We need to have a heart that says, hey God, what do you want from me today? I think I shared with you one time before. I think it'd be good for us to go to God. Instead of asking God to do stuff for us, we ought to go to God one day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? What can I do for you today, Lord? What do you want out of my life today? And surrender and submit and let God have his way. Instead of thinking, in fact, James tells us in about the third chapter over there, he says, you who think you're going to make plans to do this and do that and go here and go there, you need to consider that you're just a vapor and you can be gone in a moment's time. And we shouldn't be so arrogant as to think we can determine what's going to happen in the rest of our lives. Pride is a thief. Pride is a killer. I want to tell you something. Preachers are some of the worst in the world with pride. I had a guy come to meet with me several years ago. It's been a lot of years ago now. And this guy came and sat down in my office and we talked. Well, he talked for about 2 hours about everything that he had done, everywhere he had been, everybody that he knew. I mean, he talked on and on. I felt like I'd known this guy all of my life by the time he left. He told me everything. And I felt uneasy in my heart about listening to all this stuff. Wasn't anything, you know, outwardly wrong right off the bat, but there's just something in my heart that said, watch out. And it wasn't very long until this individual, because what he was really trying to do, he was trying to impress me with who he was. And it wasn't very long, he was trying to force his way into ministry and into a position of authority within the church. So I put him to a test. I said, we've got a children's Sunday school class that needs a teacher. Would you like to take that Sunday school class? And he lasted about 2 months in that Sunday school class and turned it over to somebody else. It was beneath him to teach children, see. It was just one of those kinds of things. Preachers. Come to find out he'd tried to do the same thing in another city with another church. He's a preacher. He's an ordained minister is who he was. Preachers like titles. Doctor so-and-so. You know, bishop so-and-so. Whatever so-and-so. Give me a title. Give me a name. Make a name. This kind of thing. Pride. It's pride at the very root. And pride is a thief. And pride can cost us our kingdom. David was so completely, I want to wrap up one more example here real quick. Go over to 1 Samuel where we started last week. I won't read the rest. I've got several more psalms to read. I won't read those. Look over at 1 Samuel. I want you to see the humility of David one more time. The trust in the Lord and the humility of David as he is called to be the king of Israel. Now, we read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It's where we were introduced to David. And just quickly, so you remember, because of Saul's pride, God was taking the kingdom away from him and he was going to give it to a man that was after his own heart. By the way, when Samuel made that comment to Saul, it's very likely that David hadn't even been born yet. Saul was the king of Israel for about 40 years. David was only 30 when David took the throne. That means there was 10 years in Saul's kingship before David was ever born. And it was early in Saul's kingship when the prophet told him, because of your pride, you're going to lose your kingdom. So David probably wasn't even born when the prophet told him, God is going to choose a man after his own heart. And he raises up David, who he sees to be that man, to be a man after his own heart. The key verse that we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 was verse 7. As David's father Jesse brought all of his other sons before the prophet to see who might be a king, he looked at the firstborn Eliab and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. He looks the part. He's big, strong, you know, young man and looks like he ought to be a leader, looks like he ought to be a king. But verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at your heart to see what you're really made of, to see what your motive truly is, to see if you have a heart that's really his. God judges in a completely different way than we do as human beings. And so... Samuel finally tells Jesse, do you have any more sons? Because your first seven don't measure up. And so Jesse tells Samuel, well, there's one. He's a shepherd boy. He's out in the field tending the sheep. And Samuel says, go get him. We're not going any further until I have a look at him. And he brings David in. Verse 12, it says, the Lord said, arise. Says to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Now watch what happens. Samuel the prophet has anointed David to be the next king of Israel. But watch what David does. As you go down reading through the rest of the chapter, we see that Saul, because the anointing has left him, he begins to battle with depression and anxiety and fear and all these kind of issues. And he needs somebody to come and to play music in his presence so that he can be delivered from all of that. And somebody says, hey, I know this kid named David. He can come and sing for you. And look at what it says in verse 19. So Saul, now watch, this is after David has been anointed king. Watch. He's anointed to be the next king. So Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the flock. Who is with the flock. He's been anointed to be the next king of Israel, but he's not doing anything about that. He just went back out in the woods and started taking care of Pop's sheep again. Went right back to doing what he'd been doing all along. Look at the 17th chapter real quick. We're reintroduced to David in verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 12. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. The 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle. The names of these 3 sons are Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. Verse 14, David was the youngest. Now the three oldest followed Saul, and David went back and forth. Look what it says in verse 15. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. Hear this, brother and sister. David has been anointed to be the king of Israel. But David doesn't ride off to Jerusalem, go into the king's palace and get before Saul and say, "Pack your bags, dude, there's a new sheriff in town." No, he just goes right on out into the woods and right on out into the fields and just goes back to tending his father's flock. Look at what David is doing. He's not forcing his way into power. He's not seizing control of the kingdom for himself. He is letting God bring to David what God wants him to have. He's not trying to make anything happen. He's just letting God do what God wants to do. This is the humility of the heart of David. He leaves the exaltation of his life into the hands of God, knowing that the humble will be exalted. In Psalm 37:11, let me close. Psalm 37:11, David writes, "The humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." He was speaking out of experience. He had received a kingdom. Proverbs 22 and verse 4 says, "The reward of humility is riches, honor, and life." And so it will be for all of those who walk humbly before their God. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to be open and honest before you this morning, even as David was, to allow you to search our hearts, to see if there be any hurtful way, any wicked way within us, that you might lead us in the way everlasting. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Lord, may we humble ourselves so that you don't have to humble us. And as we humble ourselves, Father, we'll trust you to exalt us, to give us a kingdom, and to bless us accordingly. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us today. Thank you for your presence with us in these moments. And as we take these moments together, Lord, to consider our own hearts and our own ways, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us. Speak to us, for your servants are listening. So would you take a moment and just listen to the Spirit of the Lord this morning? And let God speak to you about the quality of your heart. It's not up to any of us to judge anybody else's heart. But we are supposed to judge our own heart. And with the help of the Spirit of the Lord, we can do that. Take a moment and let God speak to you this morning. And as the Lord speaks to you this morning, make your confessions to the Lord. And pray your own prayer as I pray mine this morning. Father, help us to be truly repentant of heart. Help us to recognize the sinfulness and the wickedness of our own heart. Lord, we want to let those things go. Give us grace. Give us grace that we might let those things go, Father, and find victory over them. As David trusted in you and found victory over his adversaries, Lord, may we find victory over the enemy of our souls, the temptations and trials that he would put us through. Grant to us grace and favor that we might have victory over these tests and trials. Help us to be truly repentant of heart. To let go of the pride. To let go of the arrogance, the self-centeredness, the self-importance. Help us, Father, that we might walk humbly before our God. Father, I believe that some of us are experiencing a divine encounter and a holy moment with you right now. And I trust you, Father, to speak to our hearts. I believe we truly want to have you as Lord of everything in our lives. So we surrender our hearts to you new and fresh today. Forgive us of our sins, God. Of our greed, of our lust, of our pride and arrogance, of our selfishness, of our gluttony. Forgive us, Lord. And raise us up to be a people of the kingdom of God. A people who walk in kingdom blessing, power and authority. A kingdom that is a city on a hill with a light shining brightly. Thank you, Father. Let's stand together this morning. Receive that.
Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do pray over our pastor today. We thank you, Lord, for his sacrifices for this ministry and his dedication to you and Becky's as well. And I pray over both of them as they leave today to head off for some well-earned rest and relaxation and vacation. And I pray, Father, your mercy would be on them and your travel mercies, and you would keep them safe and you would watch over them.
Thank you,
Father. Prepare their way. Go before them, Lord. Make their path straight. Give them opportunity to minister along the way, I pray, that your light would shine through them. But, Father, at the same time, that they would just have a good time together as husband and wife and be rested and refreshed in you and physically as well. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for them, that they might come back to us renewed and ready to step out into what it is you have for this ministry to do next, whatever that may be.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you the glory for it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. If we can minister to any of you before you leave here today and you have personal needs in your life, we always want to take the time to do that before we go. So if you'll just stay around for a few moments, let us say goodbye to others. We'll be glad to stay and pray with you about any needs that are in your life today and seek God on your behalf. We don't ever want anybody to leave church on Sunday morning thinking they didn't get from the Lord what they needed that day. So please, if you would, if you'd like for us to pray with you, if you just come and take a seat on the front row up here after we've said goodbye to folks, then we'll come and pray with you about the needs in your life together. Let's sing together as we're dismissing today.
In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen. in me.
Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. The journey continues.